Jesus' more memorable parables, this one in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. And when a great crowd came together, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trodden underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. There's a 60-second sermon on that text, the one that's most often preached, and you've heard it 100 times. Take good care of your soil. Pull out the thorns. Water the plants. Don't be like the trodden path, or God will get you. I'm not fond of God will get you sermons. I think if God was going to get us, no one would have made it out alive from the Garden of Eden. I think the interesting part of the story to me is the reckless abandon with which these seeds are sown. This is not a careful farmer. Clearly, the sower is not sowing rock, thorn, path, field. It's all mixed together. It suggests that the 100-fold yield occurs when one seed lands in some good soil and makes it work. In the midst of thorns, rocks, dry path, and lack of moisture, these are troubling times, economically, socially, politically, in our country and in our world. It's not hard to see where the thorns are, where the rocks are, where the path trods under good ideas. And we need a word of hope. We were driving up to Illinois and Wisconsin, and I noticed a billboard, just almost missed it. It said, on the 10,000th try, the light bulb was invented. Now, I've not been able to verify that it was the 10,000th effort. But I know that the invention of the light bulb occurred in 1879. Those were troubled times for this country. 15 years or less after the end of the Civil War, struggling with Reconstruction. Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, among many other things, and it's in just 4 generations or so, 130 years, it's hard to imagine anything that we do that's not connected in some way to that one little bit of seed that landed in good soil. Maybe after the 10,000th try, I don't know. But is there anything that we do that isn't connected in some way to light or electricity? I also did learn, when I was trying to verify the 10,000th try on the internet, that Thomas Edison also invented the alkaline battery. And where would we be without that? Taking the electricity that generated the light in the light bulb and basically putting it in our pockets. On the subject of which, 3 years prior to the invention of the light bulb, Alexander Graham Bell and Mr. Watson had the first phone conversation in between those two rooms. One little seed landed in good soil. And now, less than 150 years later, we have not only batteries in our pockets, but telephones and the internet. And it didn't take long. Once the seed hits good soil, it germinates and grows. It spreads like wildfire. It's intriguing to me. One little good idea that lands in the right place at the right time, and it is unaccountably generous in its blessings. A few days before he took the oath of office, President Obama exemplified an interesting idea. Maybe it'll take root, maybe it won't. He more or less declared, and then acted by example, that Martin Luther King Day should be National Volunteer Day. That people could, at that moment or in that day, start a little something. Dedicate a little time. And on that day, President Obama worked at a Habitat for Humanity home. Now, I don't know that we would like to see our president spend a lot of his time doing that sort of thing, but if you're going to lead by example, it's an interesting idea. These are troubled times. And those of us that have a little time to do a little something, who knows what might happen if we become a part of that national volunteer movement. Whether it involves specific volunteer projects that we involve ourselves in, at a library, at a school, at a hospital, at an extended care facility, or that we support through charitable contributions. Who knows where a little seed of a good idea takes off? And maybe the volunteer sector, which is crucial to the development of not only a stable economy, but a civil society, might be strengthened by turning Martin Luther King Day into National Volunteer Day, and watch where that begins to germinate and begins to grow. But more to the point, in our day-to-day lives, you never know where a little something might just take off and lead to something extraordinary. Or if not extraordinary, better. Courtesy, decency, tolerance. One of the things we learned when we wrote the book, The Continuing Challenge of AIDS, Clergy Responses to Patients, Friends, and Families, is that clergy are uncommonly tolerant, surprisingly so in our view, to people who are afflicted with HIV or their families and so forth. And all of the nuances of morality and health that surround that issue, clergy are more tolerant than we would have expected, but the key variable that produces tolerance is knowledge. Have you met someone, or have you met someone whose family member is so afflicted or infected? A little knowledge of having had a personal contact creates tolerance, even more mundane than that. We were starting a very long day on the road yesterday, 12 and a half hours. We landed on Friday night in central Missouri and had a long trip yesterday. Got in about 7:30. And about 7:30, 8 o'clock yesterday morning, we were in a fast food joint ordering breakfast. Now, the range of quality of goods and services in general goes from extraordinary to awful, whether it be a car, a phone, or whatever. The range of quality on fast food goes from, at best, ordinary to awful. And you sort of know that going in, right? We were in a hurry. We just needed a little something. We go in, and it was one of these fast food joints off of an exit on Interstate 44. And the first thing we noticed going in was that the place was packed. And the lines were not long. And the people that were in them were moving fairly quickly. And when we placed our order, it was received cheerfully, quickly, efficiently. We received the food in good order. It was hot. It was fresh, with a smile. And would you like a carrier for all those drinks? Why, yes. We were stunned. Thank you for being here. Have a nice day. See you again soon. Drive carefully. Ordinary at best became extraordinary. And all these folks were doing, all the people that were cooking and the food and serving it to us, were doing what their job description says they should do. They were simply doing what you would hope everybody would do. And it became extraordinary in a way. And it changed our whole perspective on what lied on the day that lay ahead for us. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much to change an ordinary day into something a little special. For us yesterday, it was an uncommonly friendly and good breakfast. All of us are capable of making that happen in our own way to the people we meet. I have to say that as a result of that experience yesterday morning, for the rest of the day when I encountered clerks in gas stations and other places, I found myself a little more friendly and a little less abrupt than I typically can be. So it took root, perhaps, in an odd and extraordinary kind of way. Sigmund Freud's work is widely discredited through subsequent research and just logic and good sense. But there's one insight that persists, at least one insight of his that took root in fertile ground, and that is this. He said that depression is anger turned inward. Depression is anger turned inward. And in rocky times where thorns seem to infect our lives, in the middle of a sleepless night, the start of another dreary day, depression is anger turned inward. A more contemporary psychologist named Albert Ellis says that the way to deal with that is to turn generosity outward. He calls it mitzvah therapy. Just do something decent for somebody else that's not expected, not required, and for which you have no hope of getting something decent in return. It can be, as we said to the children, a smile, a hug, a compliment. Plugging a parking meter. If depression is anger turned inward, hope is generosity turned outward. And all it takes is a little thing. Because the message we get from the sower is that the seed, which is the word of God, is sowed upon us with such reckless abandon that on our worst day, in the middle of a sleepless night, there's a good chance one seed will find a spot of good soil in us. And with the tiniest little bit of attention, we can let it germinate such that it yields forward, if not tomorrow, 100-fold, at least a little hope. Amen.